me get settled. Get the mic down here. Get my clock on here. No, that's an alarm. That's not a... Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to PRASA. My name is Riley, and I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Wildlife in Winston, Oregon, and my sobriety date is August 7th, 1966. I am privileged to serve you as the Pacific Regional Trustee. I've served in general service continuously for 58 years. I want to thank Alaska Area 2 Host Committee for inviting us all here today to share about AA service in the Pacific region. So, how's it going so far? Yeah? All right. Yeah, I have heard some wonderful panels, some great talks, and I'm just enjoying this very, very much. So, how many of you have never been to a PRASA before? Oh, the number is growing. Okay. And now, how many of you have been to over 20 PRASAs? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. And so for those of you who have never been here, those people are the ones you go to with your questions, because they know everything by now. And I want to introduce some people. Would the Pacific Region delegates and BC Yukon stand up, please?
All right, crew. 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar. All for Riley. Stand up and holler. Woo! Yeah! We love you, Riley. We love you. Thank you so much for everything that you do.
Okay. That is the Pacific that is the Pacific region's version of of building unity and trust. So these are your delegates. Am I going to get through? I love you too. I love the Pacific Regional delegates. And these are delegates who care deeply about Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're willing to put their personal opinions to the side to make sure that the collective group conscience of their area is informed and well served. And now I'm going to ask if you ever have been a delegate. Stand up, a trustee, GSO staff, AAWS director, Grapevine director, or a member of the General Service Board. So these people standing, thank you for your service. Thank you so much. And they're still hanging around with us, and we appreciate that. These are the people who have guided us through the years. AA's past and future has been shaped by these people and their service. They know what it's like to give unselfishly to AA's future. They have led AA through some difficult times. They've taught us to learn more about AA principles. And now, as elder statesmen, they offer patience and tolerance to a whole new generation of leaders. And now, everyone who hasn't been mentioned yet, please stand up. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So, those of you who just stood up, the people who just stood up before you, those people and me work for you. You are our bosses. Your groups do all the work up there on the top of the service triangle. The group consciences that you represent are the ones we listen to for advice, criticism, and suggestions for the future. The non-alcoholics who are here, the spouses, the relatives, the staff, you are our backbone. The family and friendship supports us even when we don't know exactly why they do that. But they're always there, and they've always got our back. So thank you all for your service. So all of you, when you go back home to your home group or your area assembly in a few days, I hope that you thank everyone who wasn't able to be here today. Thank them for keeping the doors open, for making coffee, maintaining the equipment, and taking care of everything that keeps your group available for 12-step calls. The people in your group are the ones who survey A quietly and steadily. I do love the Pacific region. It's diverse and energetic. Oh, very energetic. And it has a unique flavor. I always love coming to Alaska. I have family here in Anchorage and more in the Yukon. And I drive up through the Yukon on the way between Alaska and Washington. So I want to just share a story about that. When I was delegate, I served on the trustees committee. And at the conference that year, there was an item to restructure the conference and add another region or two. So I had the privilege of doing a lot of research, and I worked up a proposal to present to the conference. I had charts, I had spreadsheets, documentation, and I brought out these pile of papers to give to my committee members. And so then the proposal that I presented was to attach British Columbia to the Pacific region. And it just made sense to have one long road that connected all of us. And the Western Canada delegate just stared at me with a mixture of disbelief and horror. And then I brought out the real proposal that had nothing to do with it slicing up Western Canada. But we do now include BC Yukon as an honorary member of the Pacific region in PRASA. Now, for those of you who are new here, you might not know what PRASA is or how it operates. You might know that I like to provide historical context. So for many years, so I'm going to do that. So for many years, PRASA has been a place to learn more about the Third Legacy in an atmosphere of love and learning. But I can tell you that it's gone through its ups and downs over the years, and it didn't start that way. I haven't been able to travel to all the PRASAs, but this is my 28th one. In 1968, my group's GSR and the Southern California's area alternate delegate went to see what this new event was all about. It had been arranged with huge promises of creating unity in the Pacific region. So Carl and Roy came home and they told us it looked real promising, but there was a lot of arguing. Well, they both attended the next 2 years to see how it was going. They returned to tell us that a couple of cranky past trustees and a handful of disgruntled delegates argued about how to fix AA, and everybody got so mad at each other that they canceled the next PRASA. My GSR, who was now the delegate, he asked a few of us if we thought we could pull it off by ourselves. We thought we could, and we did. So 1971 was the turning point for PRASA. Guidelines were written and accepted, and we go by guidelines today. Speakers and panelists spoke on topics that year that included contributions to GSO, young people, and sponsorship. So has anything changed? There were no public quarrels, as most of the unhappy members had stayed home. This time, it was such a success that quite a few areas volunteered to host it the next time. And a couple of years later, we added a past delegate luncheon to the program. We got all the previously angry delegates together in one room, and they started talking to each other. Oh, that wasn't the end of the confrontation, the contention at PRASA, though. A few years on, there was a big kerfuffle about changing PRASA into a regional structure, something about power, who's got the power, where should it lie, and creating a West Coast service office. I think there might be some people here today who may have made strong speeches on one side or another that year. But after a few more years, PRASA settled into being a strong provider of accurate information for new delegates. The Pacific region was known, and it still is, as the most informed delegates at the conference. Yeah. And they work at it, and they do a really, really good job. PRASA stands alone, self-supporting, and is not funded by any other service entity in AA. The business meeting is by and for only the members who participate. Delegates who serve on the advisory board make no decisions. They just offer support and pass on historical knowledge to the host committee and try to be of service. The microcosm that is of AA, that is PRASA, has come to be an assurance to me that all things begin and end, and then something else begins again. There are cycles, one cycle after another, and I've seen some of the same type of disputes resurface every several years in the nearly 60 years that I've been in general service. Now, my position, the Pacific Regional Trustee, it's not a representative position. There's no committee, no vote, no delegation of authority. What I do is to bring the flavor, that great flavor of my region to the board. We are one of the most wildly inclusive regions in AA, and there is a lot of flavor to bring. This is my third year as a trustee, so I've had a little more responsibilities than I have before. I currently serve on about 20 committees. Well, they don't all meet at once, so it does even out into regular cycles. But we do have a lot of virtual meetings, because we can, so we do. Lots of virtual meetings, lots. In 2024, I traveled away for 20 weekends. Weekend is now defined as a five-day period. A week is now defined as almost 2 weeks. So since I won't be a director on AAWS next year, I might have a few less virtual meetings per week. Right now, these are some of the committees that I serve on. Trustees, public information. I chair the membership committee. Last April, we completed and published the latest member survey pamphlet. We won't print another one for a couple of years, so we're making presentations now to improve the statistical presentation and how it's formatted. On trustees' literature, this year, we caught up with a backlog of publications. Paper is available after the last few years of shortages. We had to make some changes in the paper and the jackets that, although they may look and feel slightly different, it allowed us to continue printing books. In publishing, many publications are coming from the 74th conference, and they're up for review this year. If they get final approval this year, we may publish more pamphlets. We haven't been able to do a lot of printing and publishing. I'm sure you know, though, that we published the new plain language big book in November. The first day we sold 42,000 copies. I think that was before noon. And then the rest of the 70,000 number of printings went in the next few days, and we ordered 100,000 more of the second printing. We have received many positive reviews. Now, I don't know if you love it or hate it. That doesn't really matter. It's not about you. It's not. The only important thing is, does it help the people you work with to better understand the AA message of recovery? Can you use it to help people? And if not, then don't buy it. So simple. I chair the Service Manual Subcommittee. The new Service Manual was just published. For both the plain language and the Service Manual, my committee reviewed the books very carefully. When we review something, we have oversight and review for things like this. We may have a list of possible changes that somebody else saw, but we don't stop the presses to add editorial or grammar changes. The General Service Board is not an operational committee. Our responsibility is oversight. So I read every line of the Service Manual, that big, thick, green one that's out now, and I was only looking for reassurance that words and phrases were still all in line with the 12 traditions and concepts. That was my job, that was my responsibility, and I took it seriously. And besides, I didn't want anything on my watch to accidentally establish a new AA policy. Anytime that we publish a new book, we try to avoid letting grammar or edit slip through, but it always happens. It's usually unobtrusively and easily corrected in the next printing. In the coming year, it's possible that we could get a few comments on the plain language big book or suggestions to say to change things. But publishers don't generally rush to reprint a book when somebody objects to a word or wants to rewrite a sentence. Any major observations that are theoretical or conceptual, they're typically saved for a later big picture review. And I would expect to have similar professional procedures for our books. Currently, I chair AAWS Nominating Committee, and I also serve on AAWS board committees for publishing, internal audit, finance, self-support, and several working groups. Working groups are those ones that are put together for a special purpose to work something out. Maybe it's not going to work out, maybe it will, but there's these groups working in the background that are just tasked with figuring something out. I've been asked to participate in some of the subcommittees that deal with technical matters. And that's because I represent the segment of AA that is not mobile, computerized, or digital. I use my phone for making phone calls when I can remember how. And everybody else whips out their phone and they do all kinds of things with it, and I don't know what they're doing because when I answer the phone, I accidentally hang up on somebody and now they're used to me just calling them back in a few seconds. People work with me all the time. But the technical people in AA and on the committees and the ones who get all these wonderful things that you guys know how to use, they are very patient with my inexperienced questions and they give me answers, and then I am reassured that the non-technical AA groups are not forgotten. And that's important to me because in my district, a lot of groups and a lot of AA members do not have computers, and they don't intend to. So we can't let them be lost because they can't move forward with the things that you guys move forward to. So have tolerance and have patience when we ask our questions because we don't know how to do something. Please just tell us how to do it. You don't have to tell us how to do it when it changes next year. We don't want to know that now. We just want to know how to find this thing and how to get by today and how to find the things that will help people as we do our service in AA. I chair the Trustees Compensation Committee, and I serve on subcommittees for orientation, centennial, social media, which I think is the funniest thing, and finance strategy. The International Convention is in 4 months. Yeah. And so in July, we trustees will get our assignments for what we're going to do, because they keep us busy every chance they get. It's an international convention. You all have duties, and we'll tell you about them the day before they start, in keeping with our methods of high-speed communication in AA. I hope a lot of people show up at the International, but there is that pesky little DUI problem that some people have. I've heard of quite a few who have got that all worked out, and it's going to work for them, so I hope that it works for everybody who tries to make sure they can get across the border. It's been a long time since we went to Atlanta, and we are ready to reacquaint ourselves with 50,000 of our closest friends. Yeah. Yeah. So thanks to the committee that's working so tirelessly on that to get that ready for us. Okay, I better take some water for this. I serve on the Trustees Finance Committee. So let's talk about money. One of the most questioned topics in finance is about the reserve fund. Everybody knows about the reserve fund, but I'm not sure how many people really think that it's like a savings account. It isn't. It's the prudent reserve for the General Service Board. Money flows in and out of the reserve. And as a board, we're responsible for managing it. But we get lots of questions and suggestions from, when are you going to replace the reserve money? And all the way to, why don't you just spend it all and start over from nothing? We get those and everything in between. So I'm going to give you some context that we don't always talk about. It's well known that we try to keep the reserve fund between 9 to 12 months of operating expenses in case of emergency. We know that right now it's at 6.4% months. It covers that many months, and that's what it's in right now. So yeah, we get questions about when are you going to put that back? Historical context is coming. So if you look back over many years, and I look back over 60 years of financial reports that I have, you can see that the reserves fund stays in a consistent cycle. We do try to keep it at 9 months. Sometimes it dips below because we have emergencies, and then it comes back up. And one time we were at kind of the middle ground, and we got this unexpected money from somewhere, and all of a sudden we were up at 12. So we had been asking for contributions and selling books and stuff, saying we were trying to bring our reserve fund back up again. And all of a sudden, we're at 12 months, and we're saying, we got to spend some of this money. It doesn't make sense to almost anybody. But we don't go over 12 months coverage. When we get there, we start a managed spending plan to get it back down to 9. And that's where we wanted to stay. But right now, it's not there. We acknowledge that. But this cycle is constant over all the prior years. I don't know if you know that. 9 to 12, we bring it back down again. 9 to 12, it's always been that way. And the funny thing is, as soon as we painstakingly bring it up, we spend it. We start spending it. But that's the time that we need to take care of some of those things that we haven't been able to do for a few years. So, do you remember 2020 when everything shut down? Oh, we were cool. We said, oh, this will be over in about 2 weeks and we'll get back to normal. And 2 years later, we were deep into the pandemic and just trying to stay afloat. Not just AA, the world was experiencing the same thing. Families were hurting, jobs were gone or limited. And in AA, we were worried about not having meetings and we were scared. It was the first time in over 50 years that I didn't know where to find a meeting. I was scared. And then people found their laptops, found out how we could communicate, and now we have virtual meetings, lots and lots of virtual meetings, but we can. We found out how to do it, and so, yeah, we can. And we even had a virtual general service conference that year and the next, and PRASA and regional forums went virtual. We found out how to do it, so we did it. AA as a whole reacted to emergencies as we always do. Members responded with record contributions, but not enough to overcome the shipping problems. Pandemics are known to cause large-scale social disruption, economic loss, and general hardship, and this came to AA as well. We couldn't print books or buy paper. We couldn't respond to your requests because we didn't have what it took to fulfill your requests. GSO was closed. Prices rose and it immediately ate up all the money the group sent. So they sent more. That's what you know how to do. If AA hurts, you send more money. You look at your reserves and you send it to the General Service Board. That's what you do. But we had huge expenses that were not of our own making. It's not because we continued to spend wildly or even what we were used to. We were not able to fulfill even some of the smallest things, and we didn't have the resources to keep you in the manner, to keep you in books. I don't know how many people really got the relationship between we couldn't get it and we can't give it to you. So that was tough. And we canceled the 2020 International, so that's why we're really anxious to get back again. But GSO had already paid for it in the 2 years before. It doesn't come upon us and then we start paying our bills. We got to prepay everything. So here we were with 2 years of expenses, $2 million that we had spent that the General Service Office covered for us. They took their cash reserves and they paid the bills in advance because this is what we do. And the insurance, when it was canceled, the insurance settlement didn't come in for a while. And when it did, we gave it to the General Service Office so to pay back some of the stuff that they had covered, that they had been covering bills for us. And then the General Service Office was continuing to operate as best it could, but it was running out of money now. There was a real cash shortage. So in 2020, $4 million was withdrawn from the reserve fund to keep us going. We would not have been able to keep going if we just left that money in the reserve fund and said, oh, we don't need to spend that yet. We're saving that for an emergency. If that isn't an emergency, I don't know what is. So we covered our expenses. And we were able to keep afloat and stay above water. The reserve fund did its job, and that's what it's there for. So I don't know if you know that the reserve fund balance is lower. I don't know if you think we just keep spending it, but it went down by that much because we needed it to. So it's not going to come back up in the same, let's say, 4 to 5 year process, that it usually does when we get down below 9 months. You look at the cycles. You can see how long it takes to build it back up to 12 and then spend it down again. It's all constant. But this hit us. This hit us where we lived so that we could keep living. So that's where it went to. So if you ask us about the reserve fund, it's not because you saw us pay something large. We're still trying to catch up from the pandemic. And the world tried to keep coming back together. Decisions had to be made quicker than AA is used to. We found a large source of paper stock available that we could use, and we bought it and we stored it. But that went into inventory, not recovery of, we had to spend that, and our cash flow went down some more. But we needed the paper, and we could give you books again. So we printed some books, and you got them, and the newcomers got them. The Prudent Reserve is doing its job again. And contributions continued to come in record numbers, but supply costs kept going higher or weren't there. Last year, department managers took a scalpel to expenses until they just couldn't cut anymore. And I was in that meeting, and it was felt like I was holding a scalpel as we went down line by line. I think it was 4 hours that we spent going over the budget, saying, what can we cut? Can we do 400 here? Can we do 6,000 here? And we went line by line by line. We couldn't until the managers could not cut anymore. And then we asked them to cut it a little bit more. And they went looking then for everything that they could take out of the budget. And that's what we've been operating from. So our expenses are about the lowest you're ever going to see them in a while, or have seen them, or will see them for a while. And yet the hits kept coming. Individuals and groups, AA groups, AA members, disrupted by fire and floods. Staff was retired. Nothing could be taken for granted anymore. Not even our beloved grapevine. Whoops. Hold on. I did this one time, lost the whole last page and had to wing it. Oh, that's not good. So somewhere in here is my last page. Wonderful. Oh, I wanted to sound so professional. Okay, well. Okay. If somebody knew what I was doing, they could go look for it, but they don't know what I'm doing, so they can't. Hang on. See, that's what they couldn't have my speech in advance because I didn't write it until this morning. Okay. Hang on a second. Oh, how'd they get in the middle? Okay. So here we are. Just ignore that. Thank you for the cheer. That's wonderful. That's more unity and trust in action in Pacific region. Okay. So There. A couple of years ago, the world stopped for a minute. It took a collective breath and moved into the digital world. Away from me and people like me, for sure. But subscriptions are Grapevine's main revenue, and they were declining. They can't take contributions, but they can sell books, and the books weren't selling either. $1 million was transferred from reserves to keep Grapevine running while they moved from paper to digital. Grapevine executives had one chance to take this opportunity, and they took it. How many of you have the Grapevine app? Holy cow. Will somebody show me how to use it someday? Seriously. Okay, Teddy's on the wall here. But it's great, right? Well, they let it go for free first. That was great. But free doesn't hit the balance sheet. So we encourage people to subscribe to not only the print version, which is still going and accepting subscriptions, and I just renewed my subscription. I don't want that to stop. So subscribe to the print or subscribe to the Grapevine app and become part of the solution. That's how the Grapevine is going to survive. You can be part of it. You can make it happen. But it's not going to happen next month. But a lot of subscriptions could come in next month and set it on its way. You don't know. The thing that I want you to remember is that $4 million saved our bacon. The whole world is still building back from those years, and so are we. And the historical cycles show that we will. That's trust. I have to trust that. Now, in other news, the World Service meeting was held in New York, and I got to talk to 74 delegates from all over the world. That was so exciting. We have a new board chair, and Scott, I have found he'll complete his first full year at the conference this year. And I found that he's modest and gracious and firm with a good sense of humor that really helps. And even when I don't agree with him, which I don't sometimes, he makes it clear and I can understand his reasoning. I think that's so important for communication with people. And it helps me be a better participant in discussions. Well, the one thing I found most interesting this year with efforts in learning to work together is to be focused on committee goals. And as a result, I've been thinking about a lot deeper about how the way group conscience works within tradition too. For one thing, it's constantly changing as members leave or arrive. The General Service Conference becomes a new group conscience every year as delegates and trustees rotate. And in the last few years, we've had a full rotation of the entire board. So you never know what the group consciousness is going to be like, because you lose some, you gain some, and they're all working together to move into the future. I wasn't sure in the beginning how group conscience worked. I thought maybe somebody else's concept of a higher power was waiting in the meeting room, ready to judge and be an ultimate authority over us. I didn't know. Well, when you don't have anything, you find something. And so you make it up in your own head, and I didn't know what to expect. But every one of us in this room has a concept of a power, some kind, that are greater than ourselves. It can be from a vague idea of what it might be to a firm religious belief. We all have them. When we bring that personal contact with us into every meeting, we have an inclusive and a robust discussion, and then we let all those higher powers duke it out. I know that whatever is decided won't come from any one person there. It will come from all of us together. The ultimate decisions of these higher powers may result in an action that will one day save a life. So I think I'll let them do it. With a powerful group conscience like that going for AA, how can you not trust the outcome? Reconstruction takes time. Coming back from where we were will take time, but we've been shaken up before. It isn't fun to go through that, but it feels good to know we're working together for our common goal of helping alcoholics in recovery. I get, as a regional trustee, I get to go to places and meet all of you, and you are my lifeline and my lifeblood as I meet you, and I sit down with people I've never seen before and have lunch with you and meet you. This keeps my feet on the ground and my heart close to yours. When I was 21 years old, I was told that I was the future of AA. And I was. For 59 years later, I'm not only part of AA's past, but I'm still part of that future, as are every one of you here. Everyone in this room is trudging the road of destiny at the same time, each one holding tight to their own concept of a power greater than themselves. Walk with me into the future with respect and trust and remember our history. We'll do it together. You, me, and the powers that hold us all as one. Thank you for letting me serve.